Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I want to tell you my secret now. I see death.
Silent Train is people!
No. I am the father.
What's in the box?
You made it! You blew it up! Damn you all!
Come on and slam, and welcome to the Space Jam 2 spoiler special. I'm Karen Hine, staff writer at Slate, and I'm joined by Allegra Frank, senior editor at Slate. Welcome, Allegra.
Thank you, Karen. Hello. So glad to be jamming with you.
So today, as per our intro, we are spoiling Space Jam 2, which is technically not Space Jam 2, but Space Jam : A New Legacy.
Right.
So I guess we'll start with some general impressions and then get into the spoiler territory. But first, I wanted to say one of the reasons that it's exciting that you are here is that you are a huge OG Space Jam fan.
Yeah, I feel like it's sort of become my entire personality at Slate, at least for some reason, because I find myself vigorously defending the OG SJ.
It does feel like we have more responsibility to do that because everyone that we work directly with is, I would say, at least 5 to 10 years older than us, mm-hmm. and I think hates the 1996 Space Jam on principle.
Right. Like, we were the perfect age for it. Like, when mm-hmm. Space Jam came out, 96, you're like a year older than me. So I was 3, you must have been 4. So we were like, perfect, give me Looney Tunes, give me cartoons, Michael Jordan is the coolest guy. And, you know, we wanted to sit through a perfectly 80 minute long commercial.
I mean, that's the other thing, right? It's 88 minutes. That's like, for a child, a perfect movie length.
Yeah, exactly. It was like the perfect amount of time to sit and like watch at a play date. Everything that happens, you're like, oh, wow, cool. Oh, Bugs Bunny, fun. Versus like, I can see if you were in high school or middle school, even like 12 and up when that movie came out, you probably mm-hmm. would be like, this is lame cartoons. I don't like those anymore. So I was a huge fan of Space Jam and continue to be to this day because of everything that we just talked about, of how just like fun and silly and honest, like kind of dumb that it was.
It is a pretty dumb movie. Like, I rewatched it recently and it was like, oh, like, barely anything actually happens in this movie.
Right.
There's not really that much plot. This really is a movie that as an adult you can be like, oh, this really was engineered just to sell sneakers.
Yes.
But even despite that, there's like some weird elements to it where I'm like, oh, this is like kind of interesting at least, even if it's not necessarily like, it's no one's going to be like, Space Jam didn't win the Best Picture Oscar. I can't believe it. Like, of course it's not going to. But I guess as we segue to A New Legacy, what I'll say is that I weirdly feel like the 1996 one is better than this one. What do you think?
Thank you. Honestly, Karen, because we haven't had a chance to talk about this yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Karen and I, we talk all the time, but we haven't talked about Space Jam yet. We didn't spoil
it's
our takes.
It's too recent.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way. The original Space Jam, to me, is miles ahead of this new one. And partially, it's like, it might be nostalgia glasses, but I also rewatched it recently too, like to get ready for the new one.
We have to do our research.
Yeah. And I found it still so much fun and just, I love the silliness and the cast of Michael Jordan, Wayne Knight, Bill Murray. And then mm-hmm. compared to this one, which was literally twice as long, it felt like. It was so much longer.
Okay, so the other one was, the original is 88 minutes. This is 115 minutes, which is not quite twice, but almost 2 hours, which is...
It feels...
Not a short movie.
It feels 2 hours, too. Like,
it
feels long. And maybe it is because we're older, but honestly, like, you and I, we can like movies of any age. We're not expecting mm-hmm. a lot, and I absolutely think this one just did not have any of the fun charm of the original. What about you?
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, I think the original one is willing to get a little weird. Like, the whole sidebar with Bill Murray is so strange. And everything that Wayne Knight is forced to do in that movie is, like, extremely upsetting.
It's so
like,
weird.
You can't do that now because all the jokes are extremely fatphobic. All the jokes hinge simply on the fact that he is an overweight man, to the point where I'm like, you know what? Good for Wayne Knight for being in so many things in that time period where at least he's getting paid to be trampled on by the Hollywood industry.
To be blown up in one part.
God, it's that the like CGI balloon version of him is one of the most upsetting things I've ever seen. But yeah, like there's nothing like that in this movie. I don't mean that there's nothing problematic in this movie. I just mean that there's nothing that feels like a risk or weird in any way.
Right.
It's all pretty anodyne. And like, even though I'm like, I don't really think A New Legacy was that good, the more predominant feeling that I have about it is that like, I just don't, it's not going to stick in my memory post the spoiler special. I'm never going to think about this movie again.
I 100% agree, which is why we should just have our complete memory dump together right now. So we...
That is kind of what a spoiler special is. It is just like, let's see how many details we can remember about this movie.
Right. Let's just exercise it from our brains for the sake of spoiling it. And then
after this hour, people will be like, so have you seen Space Jam: A New Legacy? And we'll be like, sorry, what?
I've seen Space Jam. Yes. I love Space Jam so much.
All right. So let's get into it. So the 1996 Space Jam starred Michael Jordan, and this new Space Jam, A New Legacy, stars LeBron James, King James, in the, I was about to say in the title role, but he's not playing Space Jam. He's just the main character. All right.
Space Jam.
And basically the plot hinges around the fact that like one of his sons, Dom, doesn't really want to follow in his dad's basketball shoes and instead is kind of more interested in learning how to program like computers, program and make his own like video games, which I have to say is like right off the top a really weird way to introduce your plot, because he has two other kids and there is no plot with them at all, even though the main thing is like reconnect with your children and let them grow up and be who they want to be.
Right.
And it's like, we do not care about his other two children at all. It's so weird.
It's so weird. I don't even remember their names. And the other thing was like, so he has a young daughter who seems pretty young. So like, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's not going to force her to play basketball quite yet. But I think Dom has an older brother, I think.
Yeah. Who is like into basketball.
Right. So it's like, okay, Dom doesn't like basketball. It's fine. What about nameless brother one?
Darius.
Exactly. Yes. Glad he has a name. Yeah. Like, what about Darius? So,
I mean, he might as well not, based on the way this movie goes.
It just feels like it feels very unfair to poor Dom that he's so put upon here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, why does only he have this or like, does Darius have some sort of inner life? It's almost like, where's the Jiro Dreams of Sushi version of this movie? You remember where like one of the sons is like just stuck in the father's restaurant and keeps doing it and be like, I will follow in his footsteps forever. And then his other younger son has like opened his own restaurant.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like, except that none of the other plot lines exist.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right. So Dom is like, oh, but I want to make video games. But LeBron keeps being like, you need to like practice basketball, because when he was a child, his coach took away his Game Boy? Question mark. Like that's the inciting incident for this movie,
right,
where he's like, oh, I can't become better at basketball if I get distracted by Nintendo.
Right. Which is like also just such a silly segue into introducing the Looney Tunes part two, because the game he is ostensibly playing on his Game Boy is some random Bugs Bunny game.
Yeah. Is it real?
It's not real. It is absolutely not real.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, it wasn't so far out of the realm of possibility that I was like, I'm sure there's not a Looney Tunes game. But knowing that it's not real changes the game
right
completely.
It was just like, oh, yes, to remind you, there are going to be Looney Tunes in this. The other thing, I mean, yes, it's the inciting incident of this is also why he has this grudge against gaming, I guess, is why LeBron hates it. I was just contrasting it to the opening to the original Space Jam, which does the most to prove like Michael Jordan was a prodigy from the age of 12. Like he's just shooting baskets for hours alone and like, you know, getting landing baskets the whole time. Landing a basket. That's basketball term.
We know sports a lot.
Versus this one, it's like, oh, LeBron sucked because of video games ruining him. And he has to protect his son from going down the same fate of liking video games as a kid and then becoming the best basketball player of all time. Like, it just, it felt very forced to me. And as gamers, mm-hmm. as gamers, hashtag.
Yeah, both of us are certified gamers.
Right. I was like, that's rude. Gaming is only a plus.
It's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, where it's like, it seems like the idea is like you need to focus and make time for the things that you want to excel at, but mm-hmm. it doesn't really get that message across clearly enough.
Right.
Anyway, so Dom, like, shows LeBron his game, and he's like, oh, like, look, I can make him do this specific move that you do, and it causes his character to glitch and then be deleted from the game, which will be important later. It's not just a weird side note.
Yeah.
And so as, like, LeBron is still, like, living his life and trying to get his son to be excited about basketball, he takes his son along to a meeting on the Warner Brothers lot where they're like, our AI, our studio software algorithm, has come up with all these ideas for you where, like, you could be in a Batman movie, you could be in Game of Thrones or whatever, because we'll just make a CGI version of you to stick in all these things. And he's like, these ideas suck and I don't want to do them. Which is, I think, really the most interesting idea in this entire thing.
Right.
Where they're like, number one, positing that everything that Warner Brothers makes is generated by an algorithm, which is, I think, something that a lot of people on Twitter love to theorize about.
Right.
When all we get is like IP remakes.
Right.
And then saying that, like, LeBron saying, like, I think it sucks that you're just putting the CGI version of me into other franchises to try to make X more popular. That's also a problem that we have with the current media landscape.
Right.
And LeBron says that it sucks, but then they never follow back around to this at all.
Right. Like, it is honestly the most intriguing moment in that it's self-aware and self-critical. Obviously, this is a Warner Brothers, like, flagship. I mean, it's like a tentpole picture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a commercial for Warner Brothers, which I'm sure we'll get into, especially at the basketball game where it literally is a commercial. And so for him to mock the idea of what Warner Brothers is kind of doing, which is like repurposing its IP as much as possible and in every sector, and to reanimate IP, which is literally what they're doing with Space Jam, with LeBron, it's like, this could be an ironic point to carry through. But yeah, this is the one moment where LeBron is offering something unique and smart to say, and then it just evaporates.
It feels like the one moment that got left from, like, the Terrence Nance version of this movie.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Terrence Nance was the director originally attached to this, and then they, quote unquote, amicably parted ways with Warner Brothers on this movie, and then Malcolm D. Lee was brought on. As I understand it, that parting was not really that amicable.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen any of Terrence Nance's previous work, which is very experimental and very much pushing the boundaries, it's pretty easy to see why they didn't want him on this movie, which is, again, just saying, isn't Warner Brothers great? Subscribe to our streaming service, whatever. It's the same thing. But I mean, that it feels like the one idea left over that they just somehow didn't flag as being problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And the even weirder thing is, like, algorithm gets a sort of human form in the character Algorithm, played by Don Cheadle.
Right.
That name alone, huge cringe. But besides that, he is the bad guy in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a redeemable bad guy. He's a bad guy that they just destroy, which, again, makes it all the stranger that the story is like, oh no, like, we actually want to do that. And that is what Space Jam: A New Legacy is. It's just inserting every single property that you have into one movie to try to make people, like, more buzzed about it.
Right. Yeah, I think we can definitely see the vestiges of, you know, Terrence Nance and the competing ideas that were brought into this. I mean, so many people were credited with the story and the screenplay mm-hmm. here that it absolutely is kind of like Frankenstein together. I mean, that's a great point of, like, the literal villain here is the algorithm, which, mm-hmm. yes, his personification. But you kind of forget later on when it does really dive into, we're celebrating Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers is so fun that he is actually the personification of everything that is bad about franchise filmmaking.
Yeah.
I do also want to mention in this scene something that felt like a weird spoiler to me, and that I had no idea they were in it, was the executives were Sarah Silverman and Steven Yeun, which was weird.
Yeah, seeing Steven Yeun in this, I was like, mm-hmm. what? Why is he in this movie? And this part in particular, which is like one line and then that's it.
Yeah, it was like, these are the biggest name actual actors in this film and they're being dispensed
well,
of.
Well, Don Cheadle, though.
Oh, Don Cheadle, yeah, I guess.
Also, I guess Zendaya, but
we'll get to her. We'll get to her. Yeah, but like to have these very well-known actors in here for very bit parts was... strange to me, and that was like my biggest spoiler because I was like, what, they're here, what the heck, Sarah Silverman? Which I mean, it didn't matter much, although we get to see her office, which just is laden with Warner Brothers movie posters, which is a tease of what's to come.
Yeah, I mean, we get to that pretty quickly. So right after LeBron is like, the algorithm sucks, the algorithm gets mad, and then number one sucks Dom into what's called the serververse, which is just every Warner Brothers property is just there. And then LeBron, looking for his son, also gets sucked into the serververse. Mm-hmm. Well, no, they both go at the same time. Yeah, they both get sucked in at the same
time. Yeah, they do. But they're not together. So now LeBron is scared and confused because he doesn't know where Dom is. And Dom is with his new father figure.
Yeah.
Algie Rhythm.
He's like, okay, sure, like, too quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I mean, we don't spend too much time with Dom, but it is like, LeBron is disturbed looking for his son. His son is having a blast hanging out with a computer. Like, he's having the best time. And LeBron is like, what the hell? I'm with these Looney Tunes. I don't know where my son is. My wife's gonna kill me. So it's kind of sad because it does highlight, wow, LeBron bad dad, actually, ? Which is sort of what Algie Rhythm's MO is to prove to Dom that his father is a terrible father to him.
Yeah. And so Algie is like, if you want to get back to the real world, you have to beat me in a basketball game, which is why LeBron now shoots through every Warner Brothers property that you can think of, Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, Austin Powers, doesn't seem like a joke that will really land with a younger demographic here. Yeah. Mad Max Fury Road, depressing because that's such a good movie and you did it like this. Same with The Matrix.
Oh, wow. And it was funny because it was like, part of this was, oh, they own this? Like, Warner Brothers owns this and that? Like, it was a survey for the audience, too. And I completely forgot that Mad Max was a WB property.
Well, because it's so good.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, my God, Mad Max is here, too.
Also ironic that it's in there because it feels like one of the few examples of franchise filmmaking taking a risk. And that's why people like it, because it's such a risky, incredible movie.
Right.
And then everything else is like, we have to play it as safe as possible.
Right. It was also so strange because all of these were like actually taken from the movies themselves for the most part. Like the Harry Potter part was just animated. But yeah, we actually had footage from Mad Max. We had the Austin Powers thing was just superimposing Elmer Fudd into the Dr. Evil scene.
That's part of what made it most upsetting for me, where I was like, this feels like desecration of these movies.
It was just like a terrible like YouTube poop mashup or something for like 10 minutes straight.
YouTube poop, but they had money to make it.
Yes.
Yeah. But the weird thing about that is then after LeBron goes through all these worlds and it ends up that they only save the Looney Tunes who were in these other worlds, they go to like Looney Tune world to like train or whatever. But it's like the 2D animation looks bad. It does not look good. Like it looks worse than the first movie.
The person I watched this with, I swear to God, they had such a better time than I did, but part of they were like, it was fun. I don't know. You're taking it too seriously. I was like,
Allegra, if you're talking about your boyfriend, you have to break up with him.
No comments on who it was.
Wow.
But another argument he said is that he thought the animation was good and that it looked like modern day Looney Tunes. And I was like, I'm nice. I'm accommodating. So I was just like, yeah, I just prefer.
You're allowed to push back.
The animation was so bad. It was so flat. It was just like,
it's not good.
Cheap. It looked cheap. And it's like, this movie cost you $150 million at least. Why is it so cheap?
Where did that go? Did that go only into getting LeBron?
It was probably 100 mil to LeBron.
I mean, good for him.
Yeah.
So part of what we discover about why the Looney Tunes are all over the place is that apparently Algie Rhythm was like, hey, like, you can, like, explore these better realities and get out of this stupid Looney Tune world. So they all go except for Bugs Bunny, who is, I guess, the one true believer. And then they all come back for unclear reasons. I, like, didn't understand what would really make them come back besides the Daffy Duck interlude where he is like clearly destroying cities and nobody likes him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, everyone else seems to be doing fine.
Everyone else was having a blast. Like, one of the mashups, the one that I actually kind of enjoyed was Lola Bunny in...
You liked it?
Okay, listen.
Not to put you on blast, but...
Listen, she's a cutie in this movie. She's not, like, sexy Lola anymore. I thought she was a cute little bunny, and it was based off Wonder Woman 1984, which I thought was a terrible movie, but...
Also really funny, because that movie, like, just came out. It's not like people have a lot of cultural attachment to this.
Yeah, and originally, this movie, I think, was supposed to come out summer 2020, so... This movie would, 1984 would have been even more recent to feel even weirder. But yeah, I mean, I only remembered that this was from that movie particularly because it just came out like 6 months ago.
Yeah. Also, like, why could they not get the footage for that to make it real? Because they do it in like a sort of cartoon format.
Yeah, it's like comic booky. Maybe because they found out about this plot point while they were both in production and it didn't actually exist
yet. But then, like, why do that? It's so stupid. It's everything about this movie makes me mad. I'm JK. I don't have strong feelings.
It is stupid, but Lola, I appreciated that Lola has made this hard turn into being her own character now.
I mean, I feel like we all, as young girls who watched the original Space Jam, have a lingering affection for her just because it was like, oh, there's the one girl character.
Right. And now instead of the one girl character being like the sexy one who's only there to be, you know, Bugs Bunny's future girlfriend, like she's trying to be an Amazon. I thought that was... sweet for 2 minutes. I mean, it was 2 minutes of finding it sweet. And then, of course, it was ruined. But, like, even she has some cool other gig going on. Like, everyone has
better
life.
That was what I didn't understand,
now.
Where I was like, I understand that part of the reason... So they have her do, like, the time trial or whatever, and she ends up not making it because she has to save Bugs Bunny and LeBron. But then Diana is like... your priorities all make you an Amazon because you're, like, nice to your friends. So they make her an Amazon anyway. And I'm like... is that it? Like, you're just going to leave your life now there? Like, because that seems way better than going to go hang out with Bugs Bunny for whatever
reason. To play a basketball game. You're giving it all up to play a basketball game again with this bench.
Yeah. Well, so they assemble the whole Toon Squad, and LeBron's like, oh, man, they're all shitty at basketball. And he starts trying to coach them on how to play basketball. And they're like, but we're the Looney Tunes. We only know how to do cartoon stuff. And he's like, no cartoon stuff. Do real basketball. But then they meet the basketball team that Al G has put together called the Goon Squad, which through using the technology that Dom has developed for his video game, they've scanned in some other real basketball players and then, like, given them weird animal powers to make them more powerful.
Right. And it's horrifying to look at.
It's a bit weird. It reminded me of, like, Megamind.
Yeah.
Like, that style of animation, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like, grotesque kitty animation. Where, it was...
I was like, okay, whatever.
It was very... They were very ugly to look at these...
And Dom is, like, the star character of the Goon Squad. Because LG is like, why don't you, like, break the rules of the game? Set all your powers to 100. And so he does that. All max is no mins. No middle sliders. And right before they start to play the game, LG makes all the Looney Tunes 3D. Which is another one of the most upsetting aspects of this movie. Because they look horrible also in 3D.
They look... Also, the process of turning them into 3D, it seems like it's painful. Like, they're all really just, like, upset by it. And that was upsetting to me because, you know, the conversion, it was like, what was the point of this? This is not worth it.
Right.
I mean, they all look very textured. And again, as someone who finds bunnies to be cute, I was like, oh, I could pet them. And I feel like I know what it would feel like. But it doesn't make sense. It eliminates whatever style and aesthetic they were trying to go with for the Looney Tunes. And now everything looks the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's also one of the kind of ironic things where the Looney Tunes are like, why you make us 3D? Like, we're perfectly good 2D. And it's like, why wouldn't this movie take its own fucking lessons? Like, they want to make everything now into 3D. And it's like, why are you doing that? The original 2D animation is the original, not in this movie. 2D animation is good.
You know what I thought was interesting just quickly is like, there's some Looney Tunes shorts on HBO. Like, they're currently, like, making new Looney Tunes shorts. But those are 2D, and they're trying to really adhere to the original Merry Melodies style. I was watching a few after this movie because we wanted to see what the Looney Tunes are up to these days.
Okay, so then you watched those, and your boyfriend was still like, they look the same.
No, no.
Okay.
Afterward, we were like, okay, this looks a lot better, thankfully.
All right, good.
But, like, you know, I can understand them converting Looney Tunes into 3D if this is like, oh, this is a new style we're trying to get you accustomed to because all the new Looney Tunes cartoons are going to look like this. But they really are going very far away from that. Like, they're trying to be far more traditionalist with the current Looney Tunes slate. So I found that also upsetting, where it's like, okay, outside of this movie, you're doing actually kind of a good job to honor the original animation, but inside the movie, you've literally obliterated it. And that was disappointing.
They run into the big Detective Pikachu problem, where, like, some of these were all only meant to exist in 2D, and if you render some of them into 3D, they're not going to look good.
Right.
Like, Mr. Mime, the weird flesh texture, that's all that Porky Pig is, and it's terrible.
It's very fleshy. Yeah, because they are so textured. That's the weirdest part, is they are extremely textured.
There's no good way to do that. Yeah.
No.
And let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, listeners. Before we get back to the show, I wanted to remind you about the benefits of joining Slate Plus. First of all, it's only $1 for the first month. You get zero ads on any Slate podcasts, plus unlimited reading on the Slate website, so you'll never hit that paywall again. Not to mention, you'll also be supporting this podcast. Making these spoiler specials would not be possible without support, and Slate Plus helps keep this show going. And if we haven't convinced you yet, you'll also get bonus segments or episodes on your other favorite shows, like Slow Burn, Political Gab Fest, Culture Gab Fest, Mom and Dad Are Fighting, and more. So if you're interested in joining, go to slate.com/spoilerplus. That's slate.com/spoilerplus. And now, back to the show. Anyway, so now they're pit in this game against each other, and it turns out the stakes are now, if the Looney Tunes win, everyone gets to go back to their normal lives, but if they lose, then the Looney Tunes get deleted permanently, and also all the humans that Algie sucks into the serververse to serve as the audience also have to stay inside computer world forever.
Right. So it's the stakes are pretty high. Which is, you know, that's how this goes.
The stakes jump drastically.
Very drastically. It's literally life or death at this point.
And Dom does not seem to care.
That's the other thing, too, is like, ostensibly we're supposed to sympathize with Dom, and I guess we ultimately do insofar as we sympathize with anyone or anything happening in this movie. But he is kind of the reason this is all happening, because he's, right, he's the one that Algie Rhythm finally gets access to, including his video game that he is pitting against his own dad and trying to murder his dad with, essentially.
Yep.
So it's a really unfortunate turn of events.
Yeah. And it's also like, Dom, like, dude, Algy like mass kidnapped a lot of people. The kidnapping scene, which is basically like the snap in the Avengers, yeah. was also insane to me because it's like firefighters get abducted and then like some people on a plane get abducted. And I'm like, this doesn't not have consequences for the real world.
The plane thing was really, really disturbing to me.
Yeah.
Like the flight attendants, you need flight attendants. They're not just nobodies. Like they're on the freaking plane. What are you going to do?
Yeah, this is really presupposing that nobody that you're abducting is concurrently operating heavy machinery.
Right. And also, you know, once his family shows up too, you would think Dom would, if he's mad at his dad, okay, but his mom, his siblings are there too. Mm-hmm. You would think he would at least think, okay, maybe I should figure out how to shut this game down because I'm the one who created it so that yeah. my entire family isn't like, I mean, stuck in the serververse with me forever. Mm-hmm. Miserable.
Yeah. I don't even 100%, like even the way that Dom changes his mind is like doesn't 100% make sense. So they start playing the game and the Goon Squad is just like totally destroying the Looney Tunes. And things only really start to turn around when LeBron is like, oh, like I was wrong about having to play basketball normal, just play it Looney Tunes style. And so right. they start doing all this cartoon stuff that starts to catch them up. But then LeBron in a moment with Dom is like, I understand now, I gotta let you be you. I can't like pressure you into basketball. And that's all that it takes to make Dom come back and play for the Looney Tunes.
Yeah. And it's like, you couldn't have done this hours ago. Also, like,
right. Like, you should have figured this out sooner.
Yeah.
Like, even if your dad had not apologized to you, the fact that Algy has conducted a mass abduction, like, should have immediately sent you back onto Looney Tunes' side.
Dom's morals are incredibly questionable. Something also about this basketball game. So that's like the centerpiece, at least in the original. And it ostensibly is in this movie too, but there's so much else going on in this movie that feels so long and overwrought to me that I don't even know how big of a factor this basketball game ultimately is, other than to show off the myriad Warner Brothers characters in the crowd.
Yep.
But the basketball game, like LeBron barely actually did anything in this basketball game, partially because they went into this like, we have to be loony to actually win. And so before that, they mm-hmm. were being creamed. But if the idea here is also to show that, like, Dom's dad is an amazing basketball player and he is, like, so invested in basketball, this bench barely plays any basketball. Like, LeBron is basically a non-entity until that moment.
It's so weird because, like, LeBron is really the selling point of this movie. And LeBron, based on all of his other, like, movie and media appearances, is an extremely charming and just seemingly really nice guy.
Yeah.
And the fact that you would make him this really just dull, two-bit dad for this entire movie instead of letting him be fun seems like a mistake. The only, like, the one moment where I was like, yeah, LeBron is, like, at the beginning when his son is like, don't dab. And he's like, what'd you say? Don't dab? Dab. And then he leaves. And I was like, he's so great. He's so fun.
Yeah.
He's not, like, an incredible actor or whatever, but he's good when he needs to be. And he's fun. But he's just not fun for most of this movie. Most of this movie is not fun.
It's not fun. It's just people being mad at each other, people being duplicitous, people being abducted, the Looney Tunes not being happy with each other, people's lives being threatened. Like, the stakes are too high and the action is all too slow to make any of this feel at all enjoyable.
But weirdly, Don Cheadle is really good.
He's the best part of this movie.
He has never given a bad performance.
I firmly believe that. He is the only one who honestly seems like he's having a good time.
Yeah, it feels a lot like he's like, what the fuck ever. Like, let's get that paycheck.
Yeah.
And it's not that he's phoning it in. It's just like, he's like, yeah, whatever. He's like, he's into the bit.
Yeah, it's like, this is silly. I know what I'm doing. I'm like, there's a part when he's playing the coach and his costume changes in every scene.
Funny.
Like, every time they cut back to him, he has a different costume. And like,
but it's like, it is, they are specifically the costumes of like famous coaches.
Right.
So, like, Bill Belichick. It's so funny.
It's real. It's honestly funny. And it's like, he clearly is like living it up. Yes, he doesn't need to try too hard because this character is barely anything mm-hmm. other than just like villain.
He's just being funny.
Yeah. So he is actually joyous to watch. But something that was hard to take while we were looking at Algy Rhythm was the fact that every shot was the crowd behind him, and the crowd that was rooting for the Goon Squad were the Warner Brothers characters. How did you feel about seeing the clown from, like, Pennywise from It, and the Droogs from Clockwork Orange. Like, just this weird array.
It's such
array.
A weird choice. Yeah. Where it's like, do they understand, like, what these characters are? Because it's like if they made a movie about Ted Bundy and then put Ted Bundy in there. It's like, what are you doing? And also, like... Like, what are you expecting, like, kids to, like, see this and think? Like, I don't think that's going to make them go look up that movie. But even if they did, they're not appropriate for children.
Right.
Children famously find Pennywise scary.
Yes.
Like, what's going on here?
He is scary. I am not a child, but he is freaking scary, and I hate him. And every time mm-hmm. they cut to him, I was horrified. Like, there are cartoon characters, but in the way background. Like, in the way yeah. background, you can see Judy Jetson, beloved Judy Jetson. Like, or
the Iron Giant picking up his second paycheck right. since Ready Player One.
He's doing well for himself, so I'm honestly yeah. happy. But most of the ones in the forefront, yeah, were, like, not characters that the, honestly, like, the target audience are going to relate no. to or want to buy merch
That's
for.
A real, like, for the parents.
Right. It's
kind of.
It was so strange because, yeah, is it trying to just make this movie more palatable for the adults that are inevitably watching it for their kids? Or is it trying to, like, refortify the WB stable for a new generation? Because if it's the latter, like... Kids have no reason to tune into WB anymore.
Yeah, it's like you need to pick and choose what you're putting up there better. Because, like, I'm sure there's other things that are more, like, broadly appealing than a Clockwork Orange.
I feel like it's in part because Harry Potter is low-key, high-key canceled, and that's the one thing that they have that's, like, family-friendly.
Yeah.
So they didn't really want to put any Harry Potter people.
Well, you say that, but they're still making them, so
that's true.
Who fucking knows?
And I did see Voldemort.
Oh, God. Yeah. I also thought that at some point I saw Will Smith's character from Wild Wild West, but I could be wrong about that.
Oh.
Anyway, so then after Dom joins the Toon Squad, they win the basketball game and everyone goes home. Oh, I guess that's the big thing. They're like, oh, the way that we need to win the basketball game is by, like, breaking the game and making it impossible for Algie and the Goon Squad to cheat. So LeBron is like, I'll do that special move that made a glitch happened in the original game, and then Bugs does it and sacrifices himself and quote unquote dies, and then everyone goes back to the real world and then they're going about their normal lives again. Dom goes to video game camp because LeBron is finally accepting of the fact that his son has other interests, and then Bugs Bunny just appears and is like, hey, I brought all the Looney Tunes to stay at your house, is that cool? And then the movie ends.
He's just suddenly there in Hollywood with all of his friends.
I wish they just let him die. That would have been incredible.
Yeah, it would have been, honestly, it reminded me a lot of the Pokemon movie when Ash dies. Of course,
yeah!
Of course Ash comes back to life, but this
but
just
that was,
like
way more emotional.
It was so much more emotional. They actually made it matter for a little bit. In this one, yeah, it was literally like cut to, oh, hey, Bugs, which, like, I don't even feel like LeBron and Bugs had that close of a relationship.
No, they did not.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm sad for the Looney Tunes, but we don't even really see them again. We just see Bugs.
And then it's like, everyone's fine.
And yeah, everyone's
which
fine.
Which is, I guess, is par the course for, like, a kid's movie. Like, we shouldn't rag on it too much for doing that. Because
right.
In what kid's movie are you really going to
kill
the main cartoon
Bugs
character?
Bunny?
Yeah. But the whole movie is just like, okay, I'm never going to think about this movie again.
Right. It's like the stakes they made disturbingly high, and then it ultimately mm-hmm. didn't matter at all. Which, like, if the movie were more tongue-in-cheek, like what we were kind of hoping in that one
yeah.
scene earlier on, then it would have been fine. We would have laughed. It's okay.
We would have laughed.
We would have laughed. Instead, we moaned, and here we are. It was...
We have to mention the one good joke, though, which is, like, in the middle of the basketball game, one of the Looney Tunes is like, I found him! I got Michael Jordan! We're gonna win! And then
yeah.
it's, like, a slow reveal, and it turns out to be Michael B. Jordan.
That was a good reveal. And something...
Yeah.
Were you spoiled on that? Because I had no idea.
No, I was not.
Yeah, that was, like, the one surprise where it's like, ha-ha, yeah! Because I honestly...
It was pretty good.
I thought they had Michael Jordan. They got me. They really got me.
I did, too. Frankly, if Michael Jordan had showed up, I would maybe give this movie one more star.
Yeah, I would have freaked out. And
post,
like,
The Last Dance, MJ, incredible.
Oh my God, with a big cigar and his bloodshot eyes and his whiskey.
And I took that personal.
Yeah. That would have been amazing. And he would have, like, sat down. He doesn't walk much if he doesn't have to anymore. He's done his time being active. Yeah, it would have been amazing. But Michael B. Jordan was a great great joke anyway.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It was pretty good. It was great,
like,
in relation to
the reveal was good.
Yeah.
The following banter was bad.
Right.
But it was like, okay, you got Michael B. Jordan. It's still pretty good.
I kind of wanted him to actually play for the team.
No, me too.
Right? Yeah.
Me too.
And, like, go with that joke. Roll with it.
Why would he not?
Right? He could have been the Bill Murray ringer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no Bill Murray in this.
No Bill Murray in any sense. He literally does not appear. And that was honestly so upsetting to me.
Yeah, but I mean, if Michael Jordan doesn't do anything he doesn't need to now, then Bill Murray is that times like a million.
Right. Absolutely.
Bill Murray's only doing Wes Anderson movies now.
Right. Bill Murray's gone past the time where he thought the Coen brothers were doing Garfield and then accidentally signed up for two Garfield movies. Like,
I don't care if that's like a false or not. It's so fucking funny.
It is my favorite possible apocryphal story. Yeah. So like we literally, I mean, the fact that we kind of blew through this plot, even though it's almost 2 hours long, says so much because the plot is so threadbare. And again, yeah, we don't need a lot of plot. It's just there's nothing even entertaining to pull out. Like,
it's just so stupid. I'm now like, I feel like I'm remembering things that I forcefully blacked out about this movie, like the Porky Pig rap, which was just awful.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so, the fact that, like, then, like, Daffy's like, oh, he did that. It's like, he did what? What did he do?
What did
Nothing.
He do? And why? I was hoping, so, like, Porky in his
and
own
wasn't it,
voice.
Like, Lil Rel Howery? There's, like, commentators, and they're like, oh, he's spitting straight fire. And I'm like, is he? Is he spitting straight fire?
Like, I was hoping that someone, like, I don't know, Lil Wayne or like Jay-Z, like they had gotten some actual rapper to do that rap for Porky instead of it just being Porky's voice.
My name is Porky and I'm here to say, he doesn't do that, but it's pretty close.
Oh my God. Who knew? Who knew you had a Porky in you?
I just tried it right now and it turned out better than
it turned out great. Honestly.
Thank you.
Very proud. Yeah. That was like, they tried so hard to give these characters some sense of like a catchphrase. I was going to say a personality, but they wanted just like a pull out catchphrase, like the grandma character.
I hate Granny so much.
Granny,
I'm sorry, but
could not.
She's old, but also she's sassy is a joke that ran out of steam like 20 years
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. It's like, oh, how funny to see an old woman doing things old people shouldn't be able to do. Like, that's not funny. It's not interesting.
Is this ageist? are you guys being ageist right now?
They are. They're being ageist. Yeah.
Also, like, technically all the Looney Tunes are old now.
Yeah, they're old. Bugs Bunny is like 70 years old.
Yeah, don't just make Granny take all the heat for this.
No. It's Granny, they're all old. They're all decrepit. They've all done this before, too. Like, oh, that was my other question. So, obviously, like, in the Warner Brothers, like, pitch meeting early on in the movie with Sarah Silverman and Steven, they show a bunch of Warner Brothers movie posters. And one of them is the original Space Jam. So do you think, it was kind of unclear to me, in this canon, is that all fictional? Or did these Looney Tunes actually play in that game?
It feels like the Looney Tunes did. Remember, because like when they're talking to Lola, she's like, ugh, we've all done that. We've done this before.
Right.
Like they talk about it like it's already happened. But that also prompts the question, if this has already happened to you, why wouldn't you be more prepared for it to happen a second time?
Right. Like, why aren't you better at basketball? Like, don't you have some safeguards? I feel like they should have been like practicing basketball regularly just in case.
Just like pickup games.
Right. I know it's been 25 years, but to come from 0 to 100 in the original Space Jam, and then they're back at 0. That's not how that works. That is not how that works.
No.
It's very strange. It really, like, I had to rack my brain for a while about the canon of Space Jam.
Yeah. Also, like, who's the little man with the red mustache who shoots guns? I don't know what his name is.
Yosemite Sam.
Yosemite Sam. Okay, thank you.
The little man.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, though. But, like, isn't the joke where Daffy Duck is like, shoot, and then he, like, shoots a million bullets into the basketball game? Doesn't that happen in the first movie, too?
I'm pretty sure it does.
Where it's like, he hasn't learned?
Yeah, it's like, you
He had to play a whole game.
You all know. You played. And in the original Space Jam, like, Michael Jordan put them through freaking basketball speed camp. Like, he taught them everything. They learned how to play basketball from Michael Jordan. I feel like you don't just forget that.
From Michael Jordan.
From Michael. They learned from the best basketball player how to play basketball and won. a game, mm-hmm. not just mm-hmm. on Michael's back. So you would think, why would they have to be loony in order to do well in this game?
Right.
They should have some baseline of skills.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's a lot of plot holes here.
So
especially
many.
Because they're like, they're not the same movie. Well, I mean, it's also like, okay, so if the Space Jam poster exists in the real world, in the Warner Brothers studio, mm-hmm. is LeBron really not at all aware of this movie starring Michael Jordan?
Right. Like, he should have come in and been like, yo, wait, this is awesome.
Oh, this is Space Jam.
I love you guys because I love Space Jam. Okay, I'm ready mm-hmm. for this. Like,
and that I'll notably do. Has nothing to do with him liking or not liking video games.
Right. Exactly. It has nothing, no connection to video games. I don't think there was a Space Jam video game. It's all unrelated. So, yeah, it's like, that really bothered me. I thought this was going to be a lot more referential in that sense, too. I would have loved that. I would have lived for that. And he would have been like, aren't you guys supposed to be better? You played.
Couldn't you guys at least get Wayne Knight?
Yeah, come on. What is Wayne Knight doing? He's not doing nothing.
I'm actually going to Google him right now.
What is he? I would love.
Because I do want to know.
I would love to know what he looks like these
looks
days.
Like he's not really that busy. He could have come and done something for Space Jam 2. I don't see why not.
He absolutely, yeah. It looks like the last few TV shows he did were like Warner Brothers properties. He was in Harley Quinn. Hello, yeah. You have a relationship.
Ooh, Wayne Knight as the Penguin. I do like that.
But yeah, anyway, so Harley Quinn, great show.
Now I'm just looking at pictures of current Wayne Knight, and I'm like, oh, he looks good. He looks cute.
He looks really good now. I love the beard on him.
No, the beard looks good, especially like because it has like those white patches.
Yeah, he's like a, I don't want to say silver fox. That's pushing it.
I think we're allowed to say that.
He's a silver fox. He would have been the hottest person in this movie if they had gotten him.
That, not LeBron? You don't think LeBron would be the hottest person in this movie?
I don't know. I would have to see Wayne Knight next to him, and then it would be, I would really have to think about it. LeBron is hot,
Wayne Knight has a lot of innate charm, though.
Yes. Okay, well, Michael B. Jordan is the hottest person in this movie, but Wayne Knight would have been the second hottest, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. It would have been amazing if he was in the crowd. Like, all they could have done is just, like, put him in the crowd during the abduction scene.
Also, it would have been funny because this whole thing in the first movie was, like, being this kind of Weedley agent, like, Jerry Maguire kind of character. Yeah. Like, you could have had that in this pretty easily.
Now I'm just mad again. It's just, like, there's so many things that they could have done to make this movie at least fun for people like us who really did mm-hmm. like the original. Like,
oh, red alert. I just found a picture of Steven Root and Wayne Knight right next to each other. This is huge for me.
This is so much more fun than Space Jam A New Legacy. Googling Wayne Knight is so much better.
Google image searching Wayne Knight. It's good.
It's all so right. much better.
So I guess let's wrap up. We've pretty much finished talking about the movie. So all in all... Oh, wow. Wait, I'm reading the Wikipedia page for this right now, and it says that Bill Murray, who appeared in the original film, makes a photographic cameo playing golf alongside Bugs Bunny in the credits.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. It was just like...
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count. In the credits, they just had like random... It was kind of like the scene with the Warner Brothers mashups, but it was just photos of like what everyone did in Hollywood when the Looney Tunes visited. So that doesn't freaking count. No.
No. He has to say something.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So let's wrap it up. Would we recommend this movie?
I don't know why I'm hesitating. I would say no. I would say no, it is not enjoyable. It is not fun. It is not worth watching. But I would love to rant with anybody who does watch it. So it would be fun for me to be angry with you if you do watch it.
It's a big, like, yeah. It's a big, like, if you don't have anything better to do with your time, then why not?
Yeah. There are so many other more boring things to watch. This is fine. But it's also not a good movie. And you will probably smile three times.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming to talk spoilers for Space Jam with me. I say this like I'm the host of this podcast, where in reality, we're both guests.
We are both guests, but I defer to you in all cases. Thank you. You know what? Thank you for coming to spoil Space Jam with me. How about that?
Oh, sounds good to me. And that's our show. Please subscribe to the Slate Spoiler Special podcast feed. And if you like the show, please rate and review it in the Apple Podcast Store or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have suggestions for movies or TV shows we should spoil, or if you have any other feedback you'd like to share, please send it to spoilers@slate.com. Our producer is Morgan Flannery. For Illegal Frank, I'm Karen Hahn. Thanks for listening.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.